Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your host, Sandra Flack.
For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. That is Psalm 30, verse 5. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and our guest today is North Carolina single foster and adoptive dad, Cecil Stokes. Welcome to the show, Cecil.
Thank you, Sandra. I'm excited to share our story.
Oh, I love your story. I've watched the video that you and Boone have that's out there featuring you guys and your story, and I just can't wait to share it with our listeners. So thank you so much for coming on.
No, thank you.
So parenting, especially foster parenting and adopting, is hard work for couples. It's especially challenging for singles. I've had the privilege of talking with some single moms who fostered and adopted. Not too many single dads, so you might be the first, Cecil. So tell us, what led you to become a foster parent and then eventually adopt?
From a very young age, I think I was in college, the first time I really thought about having children. And when I prayed, I believe God told me that I would have a son. And I didn't have the need for a biological child, as some people do. So I dated mostly women who also wanted to adopt. If I was on a dating site and I saw a girl and she was surrounded by multi-ethnic children, I got very excited. And I really looked for a woman that had my passion for adoption. And as I grew older, my friends were getting married, and I didn't understand why I wasn't. You know, even I was so known to be the one that was going to get married in high school. My friends voted me most likely to be married by my sophomore year in college. So everyone just kind of, we knew I was going to get married and have bunches of kids. And as I went through my 20s and my friends married and I didn't, and then into my 30s and they didn't, I began to think about adoption and single parent adoption. And in my mid-30s, I asked God, could I adopt on my own? And I very firmly heard him say no, that he did not want me to adopt. And It was loud enough that I knew that was his answer, and I really didn't have a problem with it. But I continued to ask that question, you know, every year or so. And in my late 30s, I dated an amazing woman who shared my heart for adoption, and we made amazing plans for our big, diverse family. And when our relationship didn't work out, I was 41. And I asked God again, can I adopt on my own? Because I wanted to be able to play with this child that I had been dreaming about for 20 years. And I wanted to be able to be active with them and, you know, still be able to throw a football and have a good time and hopefully be as cool as I could be as a cool dad. And I didn't want to be too old to be fun with as a dad. And when I was 41 and I prayed that prayer, again, after many requests, I heard God clearly say yes that time. And I couldn't believe it, and it was such a major life decision and such a change from what I had heard in the past. I asked him for a sign. And I literally remember I was in the loft in my house, and I just laid down on the floor and my face was buried in the carpet and I was sobbing that I finally heard yes and knew I was going to be a father. And I asked him for a sign. I just said, Lord, I need a sign to confirm this. And the very next day in church, our pastor spoke about the Shuhamite woman who had offered to build a room for Elisha. And he told her the room would not be for him, but for her son. And she was advanced in years and did not think she would have a child. And I was like, oh, that was a pretty good sign.
Yeah.
And as the weeks progressed, 4 Sundays in a row, the very next week, an orphan who had been abandoned by his parents here in Charlotte, just in a car, they just drove him out on a street and left, spoke at our church about the ministry he was involved in. And I had a very clear, direct sign 4 weeks in a row. And after a month of those incredible signs, I knew, okay, I heard correctly. I get to adopt. And I called to begin training to be a foster parent. And in my heart wanted teenagers because I had been teaching the high school boys on Wednesday night at our church and thought I could handle some teenage boys, and called and took the orientation class and then got into the very next MAPS class that was required for my license, and just did everything at breakneck speed, you know, getting my physical and getting the fire inspection and the requirements that you have to have in North Carolina to become a foster child. And from the time I heard that first yes that I could adopt until I got my foster care license, it took right around 9 months. And I, in my head, I had planned on some teenagers and possibly multiples, and God had a different plan. And these children began coming through my inbox from my social worker, from my permanency specialist, and for some reason, none of them just connected to my heart the way I was expecting to connect. And after literally 2 weeks, an email came in for a little boy that was 8 years old, and there was just something that said, it was God who said, this is your son.
And that was Boone, who now is your son.
That was Boone. Yes.
Tell
that
us.
Was when he had a different name at that time.
Sure.
Boone is his new name. But he came across my inbox, and, you know, they come with a profile, and it told me about how he had been in 10 different foster placements that's being taken from his birth parents for abuse and neglect. And basically every 3 to 4 months, he was kicked out of foster homes. And there was just a list of things that this child had allegedly done. And I just heard God tell me in my heart, this is not who this child is. This is not who I created him to be. And I emailed my permanency specialist and said, I'd love to be submitted for him. And very quickly, within a day, I was rejected. And being so new to the foster care world, I didn't exactly know what that meant. And in my life, I found not being very wise can get you places. And I said, you know, can I write them a letter and just tell them why I think he's mine? And my my social worker said, you know, in my 20-something years, I've never heard of that, but I will deliver it. So I wrote a letter to my son's social worker and said, you know, that I had a plan for his education. He had repeated grades and was expected to repeat another grade. He was very behind academically. He had a lot of labels from different doctors and foster parents. And I just said, you know, I've already contacted the school. I've already hired a tutor. He's going to grow up without labels. I'll guarantee you he will not have a label when he becomes a man. And in the profile, it had listed that he loved playing with certain toys and ended with how much he loved talking about sharks. So I ended my letter to them with the line, I already have shark sheets on his bed. And that very afternoon, I received a call back that they wanted me to come in the next day for an interview. And I found out during the interview that his last two placements, number 9 and number 10, had been single dads. and they had begun the adoption process, and both adoptions failed, mm-hmm. and both men had requested that he be removed. So they had rejected me because they thought, we're not going to try this a third time. But I went in for his interview, and was in, I was in there for probably an hour and a half, and at the end of the interview, his social worker looked at me, you know, through tears, and she said, no one's ever fought for this child in his entire life, and you're fighting for him without ever knowing him. So we're going to give it a shot. And he was to arrive, because it was kind of an emergency removal situation. He was going to arrive in 2 days.
Wow.
And Sandra, I just want to say, right now, God fights for us constantly. Whether we admit that we know him or not, whether we live the way he has called us to live, he is constantly fighting for us and wanting us to return home. And he put that in my heart to fight for my son so that he would return to the home that God had created for him.
Love that. Love that. So he came and he stayed.
He arrived on a Thursday afternoon. He was supposed to arrive around noon, and we had just, it was August, and there were crazy summer storms happening that day, and there were the kind of storms that you literally have to pull your car over on the interstate because you can't see to drive, and the storms were so severe, they even had to change workers that were with him because of shift changes. So I was sitting in my reading chair looking out the window for about 5 hours, not knowing how my life was about to change, but excited beyond anything I think I'd ever been excited about. And right around 5 o'clock, I saw this unfamiliar car pull in front of my house, and this little boy dressed in red with a big cross on his shirt ran up the steps, and I was on the phone with my best friend, and I said, oh my gosh, he's here. I can't believe he's so little and he's so cute. And hung up the phone and swung open the door. And he walked in and looked me right in the eyes, and we just stared at each other. And the social workers both walked in, and thankfully his social worker, I think, had been doing this long enough, and she said, you know, you two have something in common. You're both really good huggers. And I looked at him and I said, can I give you a hug? And he said, sure. And even though I had never hugged anyone this way in my life, I bent down and I picked him up and I swung him around the room and I squeezed him so tight, his back popped. And I put him back down and he looked at me and he said, no one's ever hugged me like that before. You win.
Wow.
And I didn't know the gravity of that statement at the time because he's the most competitive child I've ever met.
And he conceded.
But on that first day, I won that first hug.
Wow. So Boone was clearly a kid from a hard place. How was the adjustment?
Well, you know, his parental rights had already been terminated and had been terminated for over, I believe, a year and a half. And placements just weren't working out for him. And you know, everyone who's listening and has a child from foster care or even from just adoptions know that it's probably one of the most brutal things you will ever go through, but it's also one of the most beautiful things you will ever go through. And Boone and I have actually started using the word brutiful to describe our relationship because he did not come in with a lot of trust, and he was so used to adults just turning their backs on him. That, you know, we had some hard times. There was one time I remember him, I had given him a consequence after we had laid down some ground rules, and he started up the stairs and then just poked his head through the banister and said, he just growled at me. And I thought, that wasn't in any course book. And I just started researching, you know, after he went upstairs and found, you know, when a child growls at you, it's because they don't have the words to express how they're feeling. And I began to realize all these labels that had been put on him, like, you know, he has anger management problems, et cetera. Well, he just had anger, but no one had ever taught him how to express it. So we had some really tough times and some amazing times, and we knew by the very next meeting that within a month he was able to tell the social worker, this is where I want to stay forever.
Mm.
And so we thankfully bonded very quickly and very deeply, and God had made us love a lot of the same things, and we are a lot alike. And it's just been like, I think most situations, it's been a roller coaster. But those first few months were incredible, just absolutely blissful. And I think one of the things that really helped is I had done a little bit of respite before he arrived, just for a couple of weeks. And I noticed that most of the foster children who came in were pretty negative. I mean, they didn't have a lot of hope. And so on the very first day that Boone arrived, right before bed, right before we said our prayers, I said, we're going to name every day our three blessings, three good things that happened to us today. And the very first day, as I expected, he said, I don't have three good things today. And I explained to him that every day we can search and find three good things that happened. And so every day of our 3 years and four or five months together now, we've said our three blessings at night. And he quickly, very resiliently adapted to, he's got great things to be thankful for every single day.
Mm.
And I think that really helped us a lot, started to change his paradigm and his perspective that he had good things happening in his life.
Yeah. So you formally adopted Boone, was that a couple of years ago, formally?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
In North Carolina, you have to foster for 6 months, and then you're allowed to file for adoption. And that took about 7 weeks. So we were excited, and we had begun calling him by his new name 4 months prior to the adoption, because I'd explained to him, you know, sometimes in the Bible, when God gives someone a new life, he gives them a new name. And I felt like he had enough in his past that he could use a fresh start. And he was very excited for that. And I love the name that we chose to get. A Boone means blessing.
Hmm.
And I wanted to give him that first label that told him he was a blessing.
Hmm.
And we were waiting. We didn't know what day his adoption paperwork would be signed. But I got an email from the lawyer on one day in the spring, and he was in second grade. And it was the middle of the day, and I ran to the school and told them I had gotten the paperwork that he was adopted. Could I pick him up early? And they said, sure. And I said, do you mind if I just head to his classroom and meet him halfway? And they allowed me to, and I was able to get all the way to his classroom before he had packed up. And I threw open that second grade door, and, you know, 20 kids are looking at me, and the teacher looks at me a little stunned. And I just ran into the room again and picked him up and said, you're mine.
Hmm.
And swung him around the room again, and pretty sure I embarrassed him pretty greatly. And lots of the kids cried, and I cried, and we headed off and went straight to Build-A-Bear and let him adopt something that day so that he could adopt on the same day that I adopted.
Hmm.
And just had an amazing day. And the very next month, I planned an adoption party so we could meet friends and family and neighbors, and we had a huge day at the park. And literally the day after the adoption was final, I mean, the day after our adoption party, the testing began. Mm. You know, he wanted to know, is this for real? Is this going to last? You know, he was 9 at that point, and he began to put me through tests to try to get rid of him. Mm. And so we had about a year and a half of just ridiculous testing. That was, you know, when you take the MAPS class or when you read some horror stories, our stories belong in there. There was some, I was lying on the floor crying on the carpet again, you know, for different reasons, but I knew he was mine. And I knew that when he looked at me and he said, call the name of his social worker and tell her to come pick me up, I'd say to him, no, you're mine now. And I was not the best parent in the beginning, and I was not as connected as I should have been, and I yelled, and I did things I shouldn't have done, and we both learned together, and we grew together, and we bonded together. And thankfully, just a little bit over a year ago, I think it just really sank in for him. This guy's not giving up on me, and this guy loves me unconditionally, and he's teaching me about God, and he's helping me become a better boy. And this last year has been quite blissful, and there are still have been some hard times on the roller coaster, but we've had a really great year. And I know, you know, he's about to become a teenager. He's 12 now.
Wow.
So I know the roller coaster is going to take another dip at some point, but we are bonded and connected, and we are together as God created us to be.
Now, are you still fostering? Do you plan on adopting again?
You know, my heart from the very beginning was I want a large family, and I thought even if I had to do it on my own, I still want multiple children. And during the last 3.5 years with Boone, I did foster another foster son for 15 months. And we've done respite repeatedly. And I still have my foster license for about another 6 months, and we're continuing to offer respite. But I really feel like God has laid on my heart that I should be married before I adopt it again, because being a single parent is very tough. So I am now trying to date a little bit harder and see if God has a wife and a mom for Boone, a wife for me and a mom for Boone. And we're going to take that road for a while before we add any other members to our family.
Well, I look forward to hearing how your family expands in the future, because I'm sure that the Lord will honor that. Cecil, as we wrap up today, what is on your heart that you want to be sure our listeners hear? What is their takeaway from our conversation?
You're not listening by accident. If you're a foster parent, if you're an adoptive parent, you know the brutal days and the beautiful days. And this is just another story that you can put in your quiver to help you get through the hard days and to celebrate with us on the beautiful days. And if you are a listener who has not decided to foster or adopt yet, you're listening for a reason. And I would implore you to ask God if this is something that he has planned for you and for your family. And if not, find ways to support other foster and adoptive families. And if you just tuned in today and you've never heard this before, God works in miraculous ways. So I would really take what you've heard to heart and ask him if you're to be the parent of a child who needs a family.
Because there are so many children in every state across the nation. There are approximately 400,000 children in foster care in the United States, and about 100,000 of them are freed for adoption. They're waiting for their forever family. So I know they're in North Carolina, where you are. Every state where I call home here in New York, we have some of the highest numbers of children in foster care in the nation. And good foster parents are needed. And you can be single to become a foster parent and to adopt children. Married couples, singles, these kids don't care. They just want a family. They want to be wanted. And you just have done such an incredible job, Cecil, in sending that message to Boone that you're not going anywhere, no matter what. I love you unconditionally. That's the love of the Father.
It is.
Right? That's how he loves us. So
it is. Yeah. And I've learned more about his love for me through raising this son than ever in my life before.
Yeah, I have to echo that myself, you know, amen that myself, because I learned more about, you know, God's love for me after adopting the children that we adopted into our family. And there's just, it's the adoption is the gospel in action. And it is incredible. So now I know both you and Boone travel together and speak to advocate for foster care and adoption. How can our listeners learn more about your ministry?
If you're on Facebook, we have a Facebook page called Boone and Me, and Boone is spelled B-O-O-N-E, Boone and Me. I'm the me. And we also have a website, booneandme.org. So you can find us in either place and watch the video that Sandra talked about. It shares a little bit deeper version of our story. And we love to visit, you know, conferences and groups and churches and share our story. So we would love to hear from any of you if you could use us in any way, if God could use us in your area, we would love to do it. And if I have time, I want to, one more quick thing. When we named our ministry Boone and Me, just after a very few days, Boone, I was putting Boone to bed, and he said to me before bed, he said, "I just figured out why you're me in Boone and Me." I said, "Why is that?" And he said, "Because you have to have me to spell home."
Oh, wow. M-E-H-O-M-E. Boy, that boy has wisdom beyond his years. And
he does.
Yeah. And I encourage everyone to check out your website, booneandme.org, and watch that incredible video clip with Boone and Cecil together telling their story. Grab the tissues first, because you will need them. And give it a watch. You'll be inspired. So, Cecil, thank you for all that you're doing. And thank Boone as well, what you're doing, both of you are doing on behalf of kids in foster care. And thank you for being a guest on the show today.
Thank you, Sandra. It was our pleasure.
And we thank you, our listeners, for tuning in to Orphans No More today. We hope you've been moved to action on behalf of children in foster care. You can find more episodes on our website at justicefororphansny.org. And you can also find it on iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Just search for the show by name, Orphans No More. And be sure to follow or subscribe to the podcast. Every 25th follower gets a free bag of Greater Things Roasters coffee. And JFO is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27, whatever way God calls you to. Maybe it's to become a foster parent, or to adopt, or participate in Care Portal, wrap around a foster or adoptive family. Learn more at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.